Come on, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you once again for being able to gather together, all because you died and rose again on the cross for us, and we give you the glory for it. Father, just help us now to settle our hearts and minds from the things of the world and allow you, Lord, to minister your grace and truth to us through the Holy Spirit to the glory of your name. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Easter Sunday, Resurrection Life. That is the title of the message this morning. And I was reading through quite a few things, what people thought of the resurrection. And I tell you, there's a lot of worldly stuff out there. And a lot of music wrapped around it as worldly as well. You take the words away and it's no different to what anything else is being played on the top 40. And I thought, man, you know, where is the God-honoring God these days? And I was reading a few things, and one commentator that I read, he said this. He said, "The cross and the resurrection began in the heart of God. They were lived out in the life of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. But their full impact hits our lives. We are the reason the Father sent his Son. The cross and the resurrection weren't for the sake of Jesus. They were for our sakes. Because of what God has done, the resurrection is something the believer can experience in daily life, as well as something we will experience for all eternity." And how true that is. What a blessing it is. Now, reading there this morning, we turn there to Matthew 28. I'd like to read that again, because so often we just skip over these things in the Bible, and they should really be laid upon our heart. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." You know, this is a day that changed human history. You know, this is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. The power of the resurrection, as you read there, was very dramatic. We read here, there's a great earthquake. There's not any earthquake at all. It says in here, a great earthquake. There was an angel. And it says to this, his countenance, that's his facial expression, was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. We all know if you're in the snow with no glasses on, you can go blind because of the brightness. And here's an angel. Lightning doesn't get any brighter than lightning. If we could in any way glimpse any of the glory of God, just look at a bolt of lightning. And that doesn't even compare to his glory. And he just rolled away the stone. The guards there, it tells us, for fear they did shake. Not just quiver, they shook. They would have been trembling. And they became just like dead men. Now, the two Marys, we're told that Jesus, not there. He's risen. And it says there, the angel says, "Listen, come. Have a look. See the place where the Lord lay." And he says to them, "Go quickly, tell his disciples he's risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you." The angel says, "You get to Galilee, you'll see him. This isn't some trick. You will see the Lord. He's there." And they left the tomb, it tells us. They departed very quickly, and it says, with fear and great joy. Fear and great joy. See, the power of the resurrection is way beyond this world. It's way beyond anything we can ever imagine. Think about this. The world shows how strong it is, how great and mighty it is. The world shows how powerful it is by taking the lives of men and women. But God says, no, this is how great I am. This is how powerful I am. I will give life. I will bring people back from the dead. And that's exactly what he did. He gave life, eternal life, to whoever has placed their faith and trust in him. Can you imagine the power it must take to bring a person back from the dead? Now, I'm not talking about resuscitating someone who's drowned. I'm not talking about putting the paddles on someone and reviving their heart. I'm talking about someone who's been 3 days in a tomb, dead. Well, let me assure you, that's the very same power that God has provided to set you and me free from sin and all the deadly consequences that go from a person dying in their sin. And just like these two women who responded, it says there with fear and great joy, and fear means here means alarm, not just awe. It means alarm as well. In other words, they were afraid, but they were excited at the same time. And just like them, we too should be overwhelmed at what the resurrection means to us. This is eternal life. We should be out of our chairs shouting hallelujah that Jesus came into this world. God sent his only begotten Son, the only one he had, to pay the penalty and take upon himself the shame of our sin, the sin of this whole world, and die a shameful, horrible death on our behalf. Now, worldly churches don't like to preach on sin anymore. It's too dirty for them. But if we don't preach it, how are you going to get saved? Because if you're not truly born again, if you have not recognized what Jesus did, why he came into this world, and have accepted him through belief, that's your repentance, and faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you die without that today, you will go to hell, and you'll be risen all right, but it'll be at the final great white throne judgment, and you'll be cast back there for eternity. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will rise. If you die before the rapture, Jesus, you will rise from the dead. God will raise your body, and you will be in eternity in heaven with him. Amen. And it's for whoever. Not a special little group of people who may think, oh, I'm a little bit better than the others, so I'm fine. No. Whoever wants to come to the Lord, whosoever will may come and take of the fountain of eternal life. Amen? Amen. You see, when we first accepted the new life in Christ, do you remember that? We were excited. We were different people. We went to work and we weren't doing what the others were doing in the smoko room anymore. We stopped all that stuff. We had that first love. And when you're born again, we all show that. And we show it, you know why? Because we know without a doubt everything that we know in the Bible at that stage in our life is real. Not one person was a theologian before they got saved, amen? Not one. We're all saved at the cross. At the cross, the ground is level. We have no more intelligence than anyone else when we get saved. We just know that this is the truth. And if that's your experience, like, let me show you you've been saved, because only the Holy Spirit can do that. You see, the trouble is, we all know about our first love without a doubt. It's all real, but for many, they quickly realize that the hope we have is outside of what we've been taught in this world, amen? We are taught lots of funny things about death and eternal life, but there's only one truth, and that's the gospel truth. See, we've been taught we don't really know what lies beyond the grave. And now, as Christians, what do we have? We live in the hope there is a resurrection. Not maybe. I'm not going to die wondering if I'm going to rise again. I'm going to die going, yes, I am going to be risen from the dead. We live in the hope there is a resurrection. And you know what? When, in all truth and honesty, sometimes that can bring a little sense of fear into our lives. And if people aren't careful, it'll control them instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to let them know the real truth. You don't have perfect love casts out fear. Amen?
Amen.
Do you know what happened with the resurrection? Eternity finally entered into time. That's what happened. Time as we know it. The Lord came from eternity. Ephesians 1:4 says that we were chosen in Him when? Before the foundation of the world. He entered into this world. What did He do? He took on our flesh, the flesh of humanity. He entered in, as I said, into time the way we know time. He did that so He could destroy time and give us eternal life. And eternal life is offered to all who will accept salvation in Christ. Listen, if you're here today and you're here thinking that this is going to get you to heaven, you're wrong. Coming to church isn't going to get you into glory. Being a church member on the roll is not going to get you into glory. Being baptized and going in the water and out of the water is not going to get you into glory. The only thing that gets a person into glory is their faith and belief and the trust of the finished work of the cross, which means God raised His Son 3 days after He was buried in that tomb. That's what gets a person into heaven. If you haven't got that, you've got nothing but the works of your own hands. Resurrection is the power of God to give new life. So how does one get that new life? Well, our first point this morning is one must die before they can be resurrected. We have to die. You may think, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. If Jesus comes today, He's going to take me home and I won't have to die. Well, that's wrong. Because resurrection life is the power that brings you and I and every believer into the Holy of Holies, into a direct and personal contact with the living God. And this is available to all people. But there's one condition that goes with it all. We must die. We must die. The power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is found in the ability to die. It's found after a real and conscious decision to die to self and give our life to Christ so that God can raise us up to a new life called being born again. It's not about the physical death. Listen, until the rapture takes place, all people will die physically at some stage. But not all, brothers and sisters, and listen carefully, not all are going to be raised to a resurrection life. Because this new life begins the moment you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Until then, you don't have a resurrection life. The one thing physical death will do, and I want us to get a hold of this, physical death will take away the veil from people's eyes and reveal to them the condition of their souls. Without a doubt, it will reveal whether they have been born again and the resurrected Christ has come into their lives and given us eternal life or not. That's why the Lord said, today is the day of salvation. He says, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I say it, and you will probably get sick of me saying it, that parents, your children aren't going to heaven because you're saved. They'll go to heaven because they have a personal relationship with their Savior. And as parents, your responsibility to them is to show them all of Jesus Christ that you can.
Amen.
Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not His faith, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And many Christians, they look at the cross, they accept the fact that Jesus was the only true sacrifice for our sin, called propitiation. They acknowledge Christ died for me as a sinner. I'm so grateful He took me my place. And that it's true, there is no other way, no other person who could do it, and that was Jesus. But brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean we do not go to the cross ourselves. Paul went beyond saying someone, the Lord, was crucified in his place. He said he had been crucified also with Christ. You see, Paul spent enough time at the foot of the cross, he began to feel and know the pain and the agony that Christ went through. And Paul got a hold of the truth, that truth, and he understood what Christ had done for him, and he was never the same again. How can we be the same if we know what Christ has done? How can we not change if we experience what he died for? The pain and punishment he took on him on our behalf. How can we still be the same? Impossible. Impossible. See, Paul gives an answer. He says, I died when Christ died. You know, that day on that hill at Calvary, people are around looking, mocking the Savior hanging there. And they only saw a man on his own dying on a cross. But praise God, he saw more than one man. He saw the spiritual body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the church of the living God. That is the body of Christ. And God saw that there, hanging, dying, and ready to be risen again. Amen? Colossians 3:3 says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You see, the cruelty, the shamefulness of a holy, righteous God in the flesh literally caused Paul to die to himself and live unto Christ. But it wasn't just for that first love. It wasn't just for a moment or a little while. He said, this is going to be my life, Christ crucified. And he said, that's what we preach. Christ crucified to the glory of God. I remember one day saying to a lady in our church, I said, you're in the Bible. And she laughed. She said, I'm not in the Bible. I says, yes, you are. 1 Corinthians 15:31. Her name was Diane Daly. I says, I die daily. I said, do you? And she said, don't be silly. And I said, well, that's the truth. And that's what Paul says, I die daily. See, when we wake in the morning, the praise of God should be on our lips. And we should be saying to the Lord, Lord, help me to live the crucified life today. Help me to walk in the power of your resurrection today. Keep me from what will make me stumble. Make me aware of the potholes and the traps that Satan's going to lay before me. Because if you want to walk with God, if you want to hand your life over and die daily, you'll get his attention. See, Paul, he understood the reality of what sin had done to the Lord. And when Paul went to the cross, Paul says, I'm going to die with him. What else can I do? But you know what that takes? It takes time at the cross. It takes time to get an understanding of what had happened to the Lord. And it was there as Paul took that time, as he came to an understanding that reached into him, and he was so changed, it touched him so much, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, as Christians, God has given to every man a measure of faith, amen? We have no excuse not to live by the faith of the Son of God. You see, in our lives, there has got to come a time where we go to the cross and we learn what happened. But we've then got to allow that to reach the depths of our souls. There's got to be a time where we come to the point in our lives where we say, yep, I am crucified with Christ. That's my position. I've been crucified with him. You see, we must die before we can be resurrected to a new life. Secondly, it is only in Christ we're going to find victory. Do you know the only victory we have in this life, the only one that counts, is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. If at the end of your life you've got all the homes in the world, all the money in the bank, all wardrobes full of clothes, cars in the garage, if you're found out of Christ, that means nothing at all. And the less we have, brothers and sisters, the more you'll find we'll have of him. Amen? You see, we're going to win many, many battles on this earth, but to be raised to glory can only happen if Christ is our Lord and Savior. Simple as that. Only he, he's the only person I know who has conquered death and the grave and is at the right hand of the Father now. Can you tell me anyone else who has? And if we are in him and he is in us, we will too do exactly the same thing. 1 Corinthians 15:54 says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus in John 1:25 said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And I love what the Lord put at the end of that. Believeth thou this? You believe that? Because if you don't, you're not going to be in glory. I can assure you that much. And I was a grave digger for many years, and or for a few years when I was young. And the one thing I found with funerals, I never saw a happy one. Never saw a happy one. There was always, you know, I understand the sorrow, I understand the grief, but there was never any other talk but sorrow and grief. Then I went to a Christian funeral and I thought, man, this is like having a party. This is celebration. Because these people aren't dead, they're alive. They're in heaven, they're in glory forevermore. And one day God will reunite that spirit with their bodies. They will be risen out of the grave and be with him forever. You see, the key to resurrection power in our life today is that you and I must die to ourselves before we can be resurrected. See, sin has to be dealt with. And I want to give you a real key to sin being dealt with. It's not someone else's sin, amen? It's our sin. Oh, if that brother so-and-so just did this, he'd be a different man. Oh, if sister so-and-so just acted or dressed this way, what a difference she would be. Brothers and sisters, we need to stand in front of the mirror and say those things. Sin can only be dealt with one way, and that's God's way, and that's a personal relationship with him. Jesus said in Matthew 10:38, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. What precious promises we have there. You think back at the Lord's life. Think back at to the tomb and ask the question, did Jesus raise himself? No, he didn't. He had to trust that God would raise him from the dead. And Jesus knew he would because Jesus obeyed the Father unto death. He said, not my will, but thine be done. He said, it's finished, it's all in your hands. brothers and sisters, when we get to the point when we can say, Lord, I'm crucified with Christ, my life is in your hands, we'll know resurrection power. We'll know the life to live. We'll be different husbands. We'll be different wives. We'll have different children. We'll have a different church. Of course, God gives us the same, very same resurrection power when we die to ourselves and choose, and that's a choice, to live in Christ. God resurrects us not to a better life, it's a new life. God's not a restorator. He's a changer of people. He pulls down and builds anew. This life described to us in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, that they which should live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That's what we're told. Not going to pass away. When you're born again, they are passed away. Too many Christians are hanging on to the fact, oh, they will pass away one day. That's not the truth. They are passed away. Behold, he says, all things are become new. Henry Blackaby made a comment. He said, Jesus died for us that we might live for him. Apart from him, we are left in our sin and remain in a state of separation from God. Hear this carefully. Physically, we're born and live until we die. We progress daily towards physical death. Spiritually, we're dead until we're made alive in Christ. Then we progress towards eternal life. Are you made alive in Christ? Do you know him as your personal Savior? Without doubt. You see, God's kingdom is the exact opposite to the kingdom that's controlled today by Satan, the kingdom of this world. Now, God said he was the prince of the power of the air for a reason, and that is he is. And we see it today. You look at the church today. The mainstream church is just like a worldly entertainment center. The music is no different. They read Bibles that make no sense to anyone who knows a King James Bible. Amen? Amen. Amen. Makes no sense at all. See, a person is hopelessly dead in their sin until they receive new life in Christ, and that comes through the power of his resurrection. See, Satan's still fooling the world to think that, yeah, listen, you can still live any way you want and just go to church. You know, don't worry, don't get too serious. Whatever you do, don't search the scriptures. Don't worry about being too born again. Listen, if you're not really born again, you're not born again. Amen? That's as simple as that. Ephesians 2:4 tells us, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where the born again believer. We're already there. You know what the resurrection did was restore man's relationship with God. See, with sin, we were separated from God. Man was spiritually dead. Man wasn't able to know God. And if sin isn't dealt with, he's still not able to know God on a personal level. And if it's not dealt with, if it's not removed, then it brings only one eternal thing, and that is damnation. God gave his Son so we may have life, and life more abundantly. Is that true or not? That's the Christian life. You see, once we are saved, and this is the blessing, sin does no no longer does sin have an eternal judgment on us. But I want to assure you of something, Christians, because this is what's not being taught today. Christians still sin, and that sin, though forgiven, comes with consequences. Always, always comes with consequences. And the worst consequence is that a believer's relationship is stretched to breaking point with God. We've been made right with God, but the weight of sin puts a great strain and heavy weight upon that relationship with Him. See, Jesus, He did not die, He did not rise again for us to be dominated with a life of sin. He wants us to live that abundant life, and that's a life that has victory over sin. Sin damages our relationship with God, and we will sin. And if we are prepared to admit that, and if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no sinless perfection, brothers and sisters. And sin damages a relationship with God. You know, there's no greater illustration of that fact than the human illustration. Amen? I was reading, and it's a true story. It was about a boy. He started to skip classes at his school. Not to do anything too bad. He just went down to the river and threw stones and stuff like that and just hung around. Just a bit of fun. The principal called the boy into his office to tell him that, look, we know what's going on. You're not turning up the classes. And he told him bluntly, he said, this has to stop. Later that day, the boy was playing soccer at the school, and his dad turns up to watch him play. And guess who else turned up? The principal. And he's on the sideline talking to this young boy's dad. And this young boy, he doesn't know what they're talking about, but he's on the field going, man, I'm in trouble now. These two are talking. I said, oh, I don't know what's going to happen now. Do you think he could play the game properly? No way in the world. No way in the world. He knew he'd been put in. That's what he thought, that his dad now knew the trouble he was in. And when the game finished, his dad came over and says, oh, you weren't up to your usual game today, son. Come on, I'll give you a lift home. And he said, no way I'm hopping in that car with Dad. He said, I'll walk home with my friends. When he got home, he was afraid to go inside the house, so he snuck around the back and went in the back door because he's sure his dad was going to nail him. And he went up to his room, and then he heard his name called for dinner. And he says, oh, I'm sure Dad's told Mum that now that my punishment's going to be dished out when I get down there. And he was called time and time to come and have dinner. And he sat down at the table there, and he said that nothing tasted any good. He couldn't eat. He was a mess. And after dinner, he went to his room, and he's just waiting and sweating. He's waiting for the bad news to come. But guess what? It never came. It never came. And he never knew to this day if his dad ever found out about that. But his relationship with his parents was out of whack. What did his parents do to cause that? Nothing. He was experiencing the consequences of his own actions, and guess what? It was eating him up. Listen, has his father changed? No. Did his mother change? No. Had his home life changed? No. Did he change? You bet he did. And it was all the result of sin. He was out of sorts with his relationship with his father. And that's true in our relationship with God. Our sin creates great pressure upon that relationship, and it damages it. Lesson to us, if God hasn't changed, the forgiveness of our sin hasn't changed, but it eats us up if we don't deal with it the way God said deal with it. And that's to ask forgiveness for them. Yes, praise God that our sin, the penalty and the price of it was dealt with at the cross. New life was given through the resurrection. And I can assure you, whatever a person experiences in this life is the sum total of the choices they have made with God. And everybody has been given the choice to make Jesus Lord and Savior of their life or to reject Him. You must make a choice. Only He is able to remove the penalty and pain of sin. Only He can provide the passage, a safe passage into eternity, where one day, brothers and sisters, our relationship with God will be perfect. That leads us to the next point. Jesus is our God, our guide. I read of a story of a Muslim man in Africa. He'd been witnessed to, and the man that was witnessing to him always spoke to him about the Lord and the difference between having a living God and a dead God. And he ended up becoming a Christian. A lot of his friends says, "What? Why do you become a Christian for? You're a Muslim. We have the one true God." And he answered, "Well, it's like this. Suppose you're going down the road and suddenly the road forks off in two directions and you don't know which way to go. And on one fork, there's two men there, and on one fork, one is dead, and on the other's alive. Where are you going to go?" See, Jesus is alive. He is, without any doubt. We can trust Him to march us on through this life and into the very presence of God. And the resurrection is proof that God knows exactly what He's doing. When we read of the resurrection as applied to our lives, you study it in the Bible. It's a great Bible study. It's nearly always talking about the power to have victory over what easily besets us, the sin. Nearly always. You know, for a believer, the resurrection isn't just going about to heaven when they die. This is our strength and power to live the Christian life today in this world. It does give us victory over the sin. God was clear when He said the sin that so easily besets us. If we think we're never going to fall, we're in trouble. Amen. Pride cometh before a... No, it doesn't. Before contention. A haughty spirit before a fall. The two go together. For a believer, the resurrection is not just going about to heaven when they die. It's strength for today. It's victory over the sin. See, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ who gave His life for us and for all who will put their trust in Him. And there's so much more to life than we really understand. And we find it in our Savior, in His death and His resurrection. You cannot separate either of them. Because if He hadn't have died, He couldn't have been resurrected. They both had to happen. And it's the same for us. Dying to self and living for Christ. You cannot separate that. Until we die to our ways, ourselves, we'll never live for Him properly. Philippians 3:7 tells us, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." See, for us to live in the power of the resurrection is going to cost us something. Many people want to travel overseas. Amen? They do. They'd be lovely to go to another place. But they won't hop on a plane. They just won't hop on a plane. They see pictures. They see shows on other countries. They'd love to go there. They dream about it. But they never get to set foot in those places. And it's the same for a Christian. Many want to say they want to experience the resurrection life, the power of the resurrection, but they just won't get on the plane. They just won't hop on board. And there is, let me assure you, there is no comparison between a life lived in the power of a resurrected Christ and that lived without that power. And a believer cannot and will not experience it until they go to the cross and understand that this Christian life is also one that has suffering. See, people want the resurrection without the cost. They want it without having to die. But that can't happen. Christ had to die before he was resurrected. He had to go to Jerusalem where he would be arrested and beaten, spat on, mocked, all before he was resurrected. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. You know, resurrection power, it is something you can know. Newness of life in Christ is something a believer can experience, but they've got to choose to. You've got to choose. If you're here today and you don't know Christ and all this sounds foreign to you and all of a sudden your heart's starting to move within you and you're going, hang on a minute, what's going on? Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit's knocking on the door of your heart saying you need to choose today who your God's going to be. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow. There's three questions. The first one is, do you want a resurrection life? Do you want that power in your life? God created us to know that power. And that question's asked because so many people don't want it. They may say they do, but the way they live contradicts what they say. You know, do you have a desire to be crucified with the Lord? Because with resurrection power always comes a responsibility and accountability to live the life that Christ lived. And that includes the cross and all that goes with it. Secondly, do we pursue the resurrection life? Does our life show we have a desire for it? Listen, would other people say that you and I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection because of how much time they notice we spend in prayer? How much time we spend in his word? How much time we enjoy to spend with his people and in worship of him? From watching our lives, would others conclude that we want to know the Lord more than anything else in this world? Listen, do we love to hear stories of what he's doing in other people's lives? Do we go around asking people what he's doing? Hey, what's the Lord been up to in your life this week? Are we sharing what he does with us? Because, you know, we've got to be honest. When we get saved and we come to know the Lord, it's life-changing. Lastly, I'm just going to ask, well, what's the decision? Are you prepared today, you and I, all of us, completely to hand our lives over to Christ so that we could know the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering? Are we prepared? Now, if we just thought in our mind, oh, hang on a minute, I'll think about that, then don't expect to experience it. Because you have not yet surrendered completely to him. I'm talking to both groups today, believers and unbelievers. But for those of us who call ourselves Christians, deep down in our soul and spirit today, do we hear God saying, give me more. Surrender that part to me. Hand it over. And I will show you the power of Christ at work in your life. You know, we've come to hear the word of God today and to worship God for the work he did in raising our Savior from the dead. Psalm 95:8 tells us not to harden our hearts. And I pray that none of us leave today without responding to the call upon our life. What's the decision going to be? Surrender or self? And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the scene of Calvary. The cross, as horrible as it was, gave way to the beauty of the resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that you live within us in that power, resurrected power. We pray that, Father, we come to a full knowledge and understanding of your will for our life. Yes, it is to be saved and to know you in a personal relationship, but it is also much more than that. It is the ability to know that, Lord, you have given us victory and that you walk by our side every day. And Lord, we pray that you make that a reality for us. To know, Lord, no matter what we face, that you're there with us, alive forevermore. For those here today who may have not know you as their Savior, we just pray, Lord, that their hearts be challenged, their minds not rest until they make a decision on whether to choose life eternal, resurrected in power, or life that will be in death and darkness and weaving of teeth for eternity. The choice belongs to the person. Father, we thank you for those who witness to us. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've offered to this world. And Lord, we're just lost for words at the glory that awaits us. Help us to share that with those we know do not know you. To the glory of your name we pray. Amen.